Welcome back to another episode of Parenting in Progress. I'm Corey.
I'm Jordan.
And we're the Welches. All right, welcome back, episode 3. This will be a 2-part series. This is D-Day, Jordan. So everything came down to this. All of our previous episodes, especially the last one where we talked about being pregnant, all of that stuff has led up to, you know, we're 9 months now.
This is due date. This is delivery day.
So, yeah, we're going to talk kind of about the first half of this. So basically, we're going to take you up starting the morning, going to the hospital, and basically straight up to delivery. And we're going to cut it off there, and we're going to get the second part going from then on until we get to arriving at home. So let's dive into it.
Let's do it.
Okay. So how early did we have to be at the hospital? What was our appointment time?
7 a.m. And we're about an hour and 10 minutes from the hospital, from our house. I will say that my due date was February 2nd, and we didn't go on our own up until then, so I had a scheduled induction date of February 6th. So that is our daughter's birthday, is February 6th. So we knew that if we didn't happen to go on our own, if my water didn't break past February 2nd, that we'll go in that Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., to get registered and get checked in.
Yeah, I remember it was an early morning. We got up really early. It was foggy.
Yeah,
we weren't going to make it there on time. And then we had just gotten a newer car that kind of had some self-driving stuff and like an adaptive cruise control. And the fog froze to the front of it, so we didn't even have cruise control. You couldn't hardly see where you were going most of the time. So we're like, all right, how is today actually going to go? So that was how the whole morning started out at.
I remember parking at the hospital, and we're getting our bags, and just thinking, like, this is the last time that we'll leave this car as a family of two. When we come back to this car, we will have our child with us. And it was, I wouldn't say bittersweet, but just that, like, I have goosebumps right now of just thinking about how our life is about to change and how you're excited. But I'm also scared because I knew I had to deliver. I knew that was at the front of my mind for so long. It's like, oh gosh, how is this going to go? Is this going to be painful? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to have a baby. So you're excited, you're nervous, and you're ready to meet your child, but also knowing that your whole entire world is going to be changed for the rest of your life. What a moment. Like, how powerful of a moment that was.
Yeah, it was scary, exciting. It was all the above, kind of what everybody talks about. I don't know if words really describe it. I mean, obviously, you were probably way more amped up than I was, just because I'm just support guy over here. So I'm sure it was a little bit different than you, but yeah, it's just like, all right, we're going to do this. Like, it's time, you know, you kind of prepare the whole 9 months, and it's now, it's going to happen one way or another.
I've seen memes on Facebook or Instagram that was like the mom to be in the hospital room of like, I can't leave here. Like, this baby has to come out of me one way or another. And I remember just for so long at work, just thinking like, I'm so excited to meet her, but like right there in the front of my mind is delivery. And that was just like, it's something that you don't know you don't know anything about it. You can Google it. You can ask so many friends, but everyone's birth story is so different. And you hear horror stories, and then you hear stories of like, yep, you just put in a day's worth of work and then your baby's here and it was fine. So just not knowing like, oh, what kind of story are we going to have? So we started that morning once we got to the hospital. Of they had a registration check-in area where we got our little wristbands, I think, and had to give our insurance, fill out some cards. And then we just waited and our nurse came down and got us and off we went to our room.
It was a pretty big room.
The delivery was pretty big.
It had it, you know, it had its own bathroom. It had a, had a little table and some chairs. It had another, like, more of a comfier chair. It wasn't comfy, believe me. I sat in that one most of the time. But you could, you could lean back, kick your feet up, stuff like that with it. The weird thing I didn't think about was it had the big TV screen over your head. Yeah, it was over your head. And, you know, once they got her all strapped up, it was showing lines of heartbeats and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, at the beginning, I'm like, why the heck do they have, like, why do they have a TV in here? And that's what they have on. Now, they had another TV that we could watch, but I'm just like, why do you need it that big? Just didn't seem right. I mean, honestly, once we start telling the story, it's going to make a little more sense. But I just remember looking at it, I'm like, holy smokes. It just seems like a little overkill, but... It was a really big, nice room.
Nice room. And I, one thing I wasn't prepared for is that that was just the delivery room. We would have our baby in that room and then we would go to a separate room for the rest of the day, night. So that's just something that, it's not a big deal. It didn't amount to anything, but just, it was a very nice hospital, a very nice room. And all the staff was great, but we came into the room. They had the gown for me to put on. You know, there's just the usual, like, checking of all the vitals and getting hooked up to all these machines. One of them was like a blood pressure cuff. The other one was the band around my belly for the baby's heart rate. And then I chose to have an epidural, but they didn't do that right away. First, since I was getting induced, they needed the IV for the Pitocin. And they blew through two veins. So third time's the charm. On the other hand, to finally get that going. And in my head, like this whole time, I knew there were several things that just gave me a little bit of anxiety. And knowing I needed to get an IV, knowing I needed the epidural and my water was going to break. And I honestly didn't know until probably one or two nights before we were going to have her that I was like, wait a minute, after I have an epidural and I can't feel anything, like, how do I go to the bathroom? And then it dawned on me. I was like, oh, Jordan, you're going to have a catheter. So I did Google that. I was like, okay, how does that work? So that made me nervous. So there's all these little like check boxes in my brain of things that, okay, got that done. Okay. What's coming next? Got that done. And so after we got the IV in, it failed twice and got it in. Our doctor came around 8, I want to say, or shortly after.
Yeah, probably close. Yep.
He came a little bit later, checked in on us. I think he was the first one to check me to see how dilated it was, or maybe the nurse was. I can't remember which was first, but I was maybe at a 3.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. So they obviously put you on Pitocin to start the inducing process or whatever process you want to call that. I can't remember. Did we start that before he got there or did he initiate all of that? That part I was a little fuzzy on.
I know that doesn't really matter, but they got the IV in for it. I don't know if they waited until he came to start it or.
I think he approved it because the nurse and the doctor were texting.
Yeah, the whole day.
All day long. So I think, you know, she's like, hey, we're ready. Do you want to do this? And I'm sure he's like, yep, here's, you know, X amount of CC she needs or whatever it is. So
that was the other thing. I didn't realize that my doctor wasn't just going to be in the room with us the whole time. That he really had a couple check-ins and then was communicating with the nurse. And when it would be time to go, then he would come in. So it was really that one main nurse that we had. And I really liked her. She made me feel super comfortable. And she even said, you know, we have some medical students here too. Do you feel comfortable with them checking you, touching you, or do you want it to just be me and the doctor? And I personally just said, I would like it to be my doctor and you. I'm comfortable with my doctor. I'm getting comfortable with you. It's not like I want a bajillion people prodding me. And it's totally your choice. If you want medical students around and to be active in the process, you're totally able to do that. I just went on the side of not, and everyone has their own opinions on what they want to do.
Yeah, I think we had enough going on that day, you know, so there's that part of it as well.
And they came in. I remember the students would come in. They just didn't do any of the checking. They'd ask questions.
Yeah, they had their little series of questions they had to ask on a sheet. And, you know, they'd come in, ask questions. How you feeling? What's your pain level? All that stuff. But, you know, the actual delivery nurse that we had, she was a really good teacher. You know, she was very accommodating. I thought she made us feel comfortable of, okay, this is how this is going to go, and all of that stuff. She did a really, really good job with all of that. But yeah, anyway, they started the Pitocin. I think it was the second time the doctor came in, I believe.
For what?
For the water breaking.
No, that was the first time.
The first time he came in. Yes.
He came in and after I checked, he had said, I'm going to go ahead and break your water. And that was quite an experience, quite a feeling. I remember being probably 37 weeks or so and almost having a scare like, oh, did my water break? Let me just put this out there. You will know when your water breaks. It is a lot of water and it is a continuous leak. So if you're guessing, if you had just a slight leakage, if you think your water broke, let me tell you, you'll know. A weird sensation, and just knowing then my doctor, his exact words were, your contractions now are going to have a little bit of teeth to them. And that's when I said, okay, let's get the epidural going. But I was just in my mind, I was just kind of debating, like, I knew I wanted an epidural, but do I do it right now? Like, I'm not in any pain right now. Do I do it right now or do I wait? I don't want to wait too long. I had a friend that almost waited too long that didn't get the full benefits from it.
Yeah. And they offered it to us pretty early. I mean, before
right after,
your
yeah,
water
before
was
even
broke,
the water broke.
I mean, once you were getting the Pitocin pumped into you, they're like, hey, do you want this? When do you want this? What are we thinking? And, you know, you had told me, yeah, I want it early, but I don't want it too early because then there's other effects if you get it too early. And there's also effects if you get it too late. So we're trying to hit a little medium sweet spot there. And I think for the most part, we did, not obviously early enough for you.
But looking back now, I'm almost glad that I waited just a little bit. It wasn't too long. But after the doctor had left and he had said, yeah, your contractions are going to get a little teeth to them, I'm thinking, yep, let's get the nurse and or the anesthesiologist over. And our nurse had said the whole day so far, oh, yeah, just whenever you want her, just let us know. We'll go and get her. She's here. And then the time, of course, when I am ready for her and I tell her, she comes back and says, the nurse comes back and says, oh, well, she's in a C-section right now. So we're going to have to wait a little bit.
Yeah. With our doctor.
Yeah. My exact doctor had then left and went to a C-section with this lady. And I remember looking at Corey and I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, how long is the C-section going to be? Is she going to be there the whole time? Is she only going to be there a little bit? Do I have to wait? How long do I have to wait? I'm not in a ton of pain right now, but I don't want it to escalate too much. But
and we asked the delivery nurse, we're like, well, how long does the C-section take if everything is going to plan? And she did say around probably a half an hour or something like that. So we're like, okay.
And let me tell you, once your water breaks, he was right. Like the nurse had said, that water is like your cushion. And once the water's gone, your cushion is gone. So you're feeling a lot more pressure in the contractions, especially with that Pitocin in your body, trying to move things around or get things going. You're starting to feel some things. And I did feel a few contractions, and they felt like really, really, really bad period cramps. And I remember telling Corey, he's talking to me, and I told him, I was like, you can keep talking to me, but I can't talk back to you right now. And it was just trying to like take some deep breaths and think of something else and trying to power through. And I didn't feel too worried about having to wait too long for the epidural, but I'm glad I felt a contraction and know what it felt like. And power to all those women out there that have unmedicated childbirth, because I cannot do that. So props to you, but it's okay to have the epidural. It made my birthing experience very pleasant and enjoyable. So I feel like I would do it again with the next kid. So after we had the water breaking, and we're waiting for the epidural, then here she comes with her little cart. And this is probably, besides actually laboring and pushing, this is probably the most like nerve-wracking piece of the whole situation, was just knowing the size of that needle that was going into my back.
The epidural cart.
The epidural
cart. Okay, because they wheeled in like three or four different carts throughout the whole day. Yeah.
No, the epidural cart, she came in and she was phenomenal. She was really calm and she just talked to me through the whole process. And that just calmed me. She had me sit on the edge of the bed. She gave me a pillow. She's like, you can grab onto your husband if you need to. And honestly, I felt okay. I wasn't really in too much pain where I couldn't sit still, because that was a big piece of it, is needing to be still. So I'm glad that I had it then versus, you know, an hour later when it would be more difficult for me to sit still. But I leaned forward onto the pillow and she said, okay, she numbed it, or not numbed it, like sterilized it, and said, I'm going to put this shot in. It's a numbing shot. This is probably going to be the most painful. And she did that. And then she just walked me through the whole process and just took some deep breaths. And it really was a quick process. I mean, less than 10 minutes, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not that bad. The one thing that I found interesting was she was telling me, you know, tell me if you can feel it to the left or the right. I'm trying to get it centered in your back. And I didn't know what she was meaning at first. But when she had put the needle in there, you could kind of feel a little bit towards the right or to the left. And I think I told her one way and she tried to move it the other way. And then she taped it to my back and got it going. She stayed there for a little bit. And by the time she left, my toes were already numb.
Yeah, it was pretty quick reacting. Now, well, one of the things that probably didn't realize till you needed to go, but before the epidural, just going to the bathroom was a process. You have so many electrical things hooked up to you, things of that sort. It took a long time just to get there and then back, and you have to have help. There's so much stuff. It's not like I could just help you either.
Yeah, it was. I'm also when I get anxious, I feel like I need to go to the bathroom. So that's like ramping up, like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. Do I tell her? You know, there's so many things. And she was super accommodating and was like, yep, and unhooked everything and helped me to the bathroom. And when you went to the bathroom, that whatever pain you had from some contractions or just laboring pains, that almost, it made it feel better. It was kind of odd to feel like going to the bathroom relieved some of that pain, but
suppose your bladder was emptying out, which gave stuff more room. Mm-hmm. Probably it was less mm-hmm. pressure yeah. down there is probably what helped out with it a little bit.
Yeah. After the epidural, then the nurse came and gave me the catheter, and I was nervous about that as well. That was another little box to check off, and there was just a little pressure and that was it. And it was in. And then I was almost relieved that I didn't have to keep bothering everybody to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And, you know, they were pumping you full of fluid. And if you know Jordan, if anybody close knows Jordan, when she drinks water and is hydrated, she does go to the bathroom quite frequently. Like, it's sometimes that's almost annoying, but she apparently doesn't have a very big bladder. And so, yes, that was nice for sure. But, you know, as nervous as you were, you're like, you didn't even know it was in, if I remember right.
I couldn't feel it. I felt the pressure of it going in, but then after it's placed, and part of that is probably due to the epidural, that you can't really feel anything. So I was probably the most hydrated I had been in a long time, to be honest with you.
Well, you did fill a bag up at least. So, I mean, I think we did call them in because I'm like, I don't know how fast that's going to fill up, but it's getting quite a bit in it. And I don't think I saw like the other part of it. I could just see it on the one side, and she's like, oh, well, you could have went this far. I was like, oh, okay, well, but anyway, they came in, they changed it out. You know, just as a little sidebar, you know, as the guy sitting there, you know, you're kind of a nervous wreck. You know, you're walking back and forth, you're standing up. I remember, you know, you kept telling me several times, like, you can sit in the chair, you know, you can sit over there. And I'm like leave me alone. Like, just I'm sitting here. It's not like I can really do anything. And I didn't even go get anything to eat that day.
You didn't eat anything. You didn't turn the TV on. You didn't get your iPad out. You weren't even hardly on your phone. You looked out the window a lot.
Yeah, how was it? Well, it was cold day, and the heater was over by the window too. And it was almost a little chilly in that room. And so I'd go hang over by the window because there was the heater over there. But I mean, once again, you're just going with the flow. You're just waiting. You're just, you know, I didn't have a series of check boxes in my head like Jordan did. I'm just kind of taking it in as it's going. But yeah, you will be a nervous wreck. I remember. So once they got your epidural in, they got your catheter in, then they left us alone for a little while. They're like, all right, we're going to let this stuff, you know, do its magic. You know, we're going to keep pumping this Pitocin into you. And, you know, we're just, they gave you a big ball, like a medicine type. Yeah. It was like a peanut shaped medicine ball that they stuck in between your legs. And they're like, oh, you can do different thing, you know, different, postures with this, and it can help, you know, speed the labor up. Cause we're both up and we're like, the quicker we can get it out, it's over with. It's not like we're in a rush, but we're just like, we don't need to sit here till 2 a.m. Like, you know, you hear some stories where they're there forever. We didn't want that to happen, but we're like, you know, it could go. And anyway, I just remember our delivery nurse, and she's like, oh, well, you know what? Sometimes, you know, some couples, they'll just, you know, we can just dim the lights down and you can just take a little nap this afternoon. And, you know, just if you need anything. So we're like, I guess we can try, but I don't know if you slept. I didn't sleep single wink. I mean, and the more I look back on it, I'm like, that was a stupid, like, your life, it's not like we'd been there once. You know, it may be second, third, fourth, fifth kid, however many kids you have. If you have more than one, maybe you're a little more chill. You're like, hey, the house ain't screaming, so heck yeah, I'm going to take this silent break if I can. We're too nervous to do anything anyway. So you're just sitting there twiddling your thumb, and, you know, I'm pacing. And anyway, they left it kind of dim for like an hour or so. She came back and checked on us, and she knew we weren't going to sleep. And she's like, well, if you're not going to sleep, then try these other positions. That way we can start, you know, hopefully getting something rolling.
Yeah, she came, I think, every hour I got checked to see how dilated I was, about every hour. And it was nice to hear what the progress was. It was really slow. Like, I came in at probably a 3, and getting to even a 6 was the bulk of the day, I would say. It took quite a ways to get there. And I think, like, our doctor had said, it was our baby was, what they call it, sunny side up.
Mm-hmm.
So she needed to rotate to get herself into the right position. And that just took some time. That's why the nurse had brought in the peanut shaped ball, and she had me lay on one side with it between my legs for a while, and then she'd come back and she'd rotate me. The fun, I mean, fun for me, not you really, was when I did have to rotate, you had to help me because I could not feel my legs really. The one left leg was completely numb, like it would fall off the table or the bed. So it's not like I wanted it to be that dead of feeling, but the right leg I could feel better, but you just can't move and you feel so helpless. And they're like, okay, we're lift your leg. I'm like, well, I'm trying, but I really can't feel it. It's like dead weight. So the nurse did a great job of just trying to get us in some different positions to get things moving. And then at this point I'm in zero pain. I don't feel bad at all. It's just kind of waiting. And yeah, we can only scroll our phones for so long with, you know, just, you're still nervous. So yeah, it's hard to take a nap during that time. And
you even got stuff to eat and drink, yeah. Didn't you?
Yes. So I thought that I wasn't going to be able to eat or drink anything during this process. And I couldn't drink I couldn't eat anything past midnight, I believe, before we came in. And let me tell you, I am a breakfast eater. Like, I get really hangry. I have to eat breakfast every day, even if it's something small. And I was nervous because I have to eat my breakfast. And I wasn't going to be getting that. So I was surprised when the nurse came in and said, do you need anything to drink? You can have some water. You can have some Sprite. She said sometimes people get nauseous during this time. And so I got a Sprite just in case. There was only one little period of time I felt a little nauseous, but it didn't last very long. And she had offered a popsicle or Jell-O. And I think I had 2 cups of Jell-O or so. It's not like I could have a steak or, you know, whatever I wanted, but I was glad to hear that I could at least eat something during that day. And it honestly killed a little bit of time. So that was good. The one thing that really did bother me, and I think you probably heard countless times, was that dang blood pressure cuff. That thing was so annoying. I don't know how often it went off at the beginning, but
I think it was once an hour is what they told us, because it seemed like it was just going off all the time. And the more frequent it went off, the more mad Jordan got. So it was once every hour until you got your epidural. Then since you had your epidural, then it was every 15 minutes.
And then I think it went to every 5, maybe after she was born.
Maybe.
But it was just so painful. And I find it funny that during my whole experience, one of the top 2 most painful things was this blood pressure cuff, because it just squeezed my arm so tight and it just wouldn't let go. And it happened all the time. It was rather annoying, but I get the purpose of it. It was fine. But yeah, in this waiting game period, the nurse would talk to the doctor. I think they did bump up my Pitocin once or so, and then they had to bring it back down. Is that correct?
Yeah. So they kept slowly ramping it up throughout the day. And then we got to a point where, you know, he just like, well, let's just kind of max it out, because, you know, he told us, you know, we're going to max it out because we can always go a little bit higher dosage and we can back it down really quick if something doesn't go right. Well, they hit you up at it. It was like one of the really high levels. And I think Carly's heart rate started fading whenever your contractions were hitting. So that was a big part of it as well. So then they tuned it back down, and he came in and he explained all that stuff, you know, which, because we didn't know. I mean, we had no idea that she was fading or anything like that. There was no alarms going off or anything of that sort, which is just crazy because they're all monitoring this from the desk at the same time. So anything we look up on that big TV, I thought was overrated. they're looking at all that stuff, live monitoring it anyway. So anyway, yeah, they came in and she bumped it back down, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to keep it at this level. And, you know, it's starting to ramp up. I mean, at that point you're getting to be, I feel like once you dilated to a 7,
that's when it went.
I mean, it was like we got on the interstate and we started running. And I mean, it wasn't a matter of 10 minutes or anything crazy like that. But, you know, I think it was about roughly, it was close to an hour by the time she was out and into the world. So,
yeah, I think, or an hour from once I got to a 7, it was probably an hour until I was at a 10 and ready to go. So it took so long to get from a 3 to a 7. But once you hit a 7, then it was fast. And so once my nurse had said, yeah, you're at a 7, it should move pretty fast now, reality was sinking in a little bit. This whole time we've been waiting. And now it's like, oh my gosh, it's coming. It's happening. This is going to be here soon. What am I supposed to do? And then all these thoughts in my head is like, I don't know how to push. I don't know what to do. When am I supposed to push? What does that feel like? I don't know. So I asked the nurse, you know, again, I felt super comfortable with her. And I looked at her and I said, Alicia, I don't know how to push. And she looked at me and she's like, don't worry, we'll talk you through it. She said, she just kind of told me, I can't even remember how it is now, of how many seconds to push. And then she would count and then we'd do like 3 cycles per contraction. So just having that little bit of heads up just made me a little bit more at ease knowing ahead of time. So it's okay to ask and say, you know, once I get fully dilated, what comes next? What does it look like? And just it made me feel better knowing that she was going to help me through it and I wasn't there on my own. Another thing I asked her, because I hear on long, you know, from media or other people about pooping during delivery. And I was so nervous about that. I did not want to poop. And I know that, you know, when they check you countless times and you are just in a gown, you can't feel anything and you're just kind of open to whatever. I shouldn't be worried about pooping, but I was.
You were worried about pooping, like when we first knew we were pregnant. That was just, it was always one of Jordan's fears. As silly as it is looking now, it was always just like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
And I remember that I telling the nurse, I said, all right, give me the odds. What's the percentage or what's the odds of me pooping during delivery? And she looked at me straight face. She goes, 8 out of 10. And I was like, okay, great. This is going to be great. And then she's like, but don't worry, we won't tell you. And I looked at her and then I looked at my husband and I was like, well, he will, you know, he's going to tell me. It's not just going to be some little secret. I will know about it.
Yes, dang, you really unloaded there, Jordan. Gosh, yeah. Dang.
Of yeah, all no, the things.
I would have said something. Just, I don't know, just.
I know you would have.
Everything, you're so nervous. I mean, you have to break the ice a little somehow with the whole deal, but I would have figured out a way.
Yeah. That was just kind of the pep talk that I had, just knowing that it was coming. And the one thing that is super nice is the hospital that we delivered in and the clinic that my doctor was at are right across the street from each other. And so when I reached a 10, my nurse texted my doctor and within 5 minutes he was there. And that's when he walked in the doors. That's when I was like, all right, here we go. I don't know if I'm ready for this, but we're going to have to be ready for this. And, you know, you hear people pushing for hours. And again, it's like, okay, how long is this going to be? What's this going to entail? Am I going to, right now I'm not in any pain, but am I going to be in pain? So that all those unknowns were hitting you all at once.
Yeah. And I mean, once we kind of hit that 7 mark, they started bringing in some more stuff. You know, they wheeled in the baby cart and you're like, okay, that's going to have something in it here fairly quick. Then they brought in some more carts, just for the delivery process. I just, when they start bringing all that stuff in and, you know, the doc's sitting there and he's talking to you just kind of at the edge of the bed and he's just nonchalant, you know, this is just another day in his office. You know, and you're just, they did make us feel the least nervous, I feel like, as Absolutely. They could. They did a really good job of that. And, you know, we're, for the most part, fairly chill people anyway. I mean, we don't really get, we're not nervous Nancy's all the time or anything like that. So that was really, really good, I thought. But yeah, I mean, when crap's starting to hit the fan and they start bringing all that stuff in and you're like, all right, you just don't know what the time frame is. I wish it'd be like, all right, in 10 minutes, this is what we're going to do. Or, you know, if you had a countdown, you don't. You just, you're watching all that because there's like, what, there was three or four more people coming in. Like, they just all come in. It's like, okay, now what? I mean, what are you for? What are you doing? I mean, it was a little overwhelming, but I think, you know, for the most part, they did a great job of keeping us not calm. Very nervous. Yep.
I can't remember. I think it was before I had her, but I got some shakes. Do you remember the shakes? A lot of people talk about the shakes, yes. And it wasn't after. A lot of people have it after they had a baby. Their body had the shakes. Mine was right before.
You had both. I did have
it after too.
Yep.
I remember having the blanket on and I'm shaking, not crazy, but my arm is just moving continuously. And some other lady in the room was like, oh, you must be cold. And I looked at her and said, no, I'm not. And then the nurse saw what was happening and came over and she told me, she's like, it's okay. This is normal. Don't fight it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long it lasted, maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it was just right before we actually started pushing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once that happened, the brain was all switched off and you're okay. You know, they're coaching you through it. You know, and another thing was the doctor never dressed up until it was go time. And I mean, he didn't have a face mask on until, you know.
Not till the end.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like once we actually were ready to push, he wasn't dressed up. They finally, once they started getting him dressed up, then it's like, okay, now how long is this going to be? And it wasn't very long.
But he had a mask. He was dressed, but it wasn't until she was close to coming out, me mm-hmm. delivering her. That's when I knew it was close. During this whole process, and I did have coached pushing, and after I've had her, I've following some different pelvic floor therapists and things online, and they're against coached pushing. And I will just say I was fine with it. I couldn't feel my contractions. They had to look at the contractions on the screen and look at all the information and tell me when to go because I couldn't feel it. And so I know a lot of people dog it, but it worked out fine for me. You were there holding one leg. The nurse was there holding the other leg and just.
They didn't give me a choice. They're like, yeah, you grab onto this side and we're on that side. And it's like, okay, we're doing this deal, you know? And, you know, we always had the question of Jordan would ask, like, well, are you going to go down and see? I always pictured it different. I didn't think that, you know, the position that you're in, you're sitting up so high, I'd have to be almost behind the bed to not be able to see anything. But anyway, holding your leg, like I had a view of you. I had a full view of what was happening. And you know, my background growing up on a farm delivered several animals. I mean, I've delivered several calves, pulled several calves. So honestly, to me, it was pretty close to the same. And I don't mean that as a degrading factor or anything like that, But it is. It's a very similar thing. And I even question myself whether, do you want to see that? Do you get lightheaded? I mean, I have a thing for needles once in a while where I get really anxious and I'll pass out on a blood draw. Doesn't hurt. I'm not scared of needles. I don't fight any of it. But so part of me was thinking, do I even do that? And, you know, obviously you don't want to be the guy that faints, because then now you got two problems in the room instead of the one that you should have. But I guess not having a choice probably was a better deal, because, you know, you kind of had a job to do. Yeah, it was holding the leg and counting to whatever number it was. I want to say it was 15.
10 or 15, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I had a whole shooting match of it, and I think sometimes Jordan's a little jealous because I could see the baby before she could.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, just with the view that I was in.
Yeah. The one thing I thought was interesting was when I was getting checked, the nurse and the doctor was like, there's a head full of hair. And I'm like, that's so crazy that they can tell that. And I remember asking you in between the pushing, and you're like, yeah, there's hair. I can see the hair. And what I almost wish they would have done was everyone was super encouraging, but I didn't know how far along I was in the process of this. You know, I did the 3 rounds of pushing, and then maybe a minute or so later, I had 3 more. And Corey, you looked at me and, you know, showed me with your finger, like, you know, oh, the baby moved this far. I can see it moving. I can see the hair. And just that was encouraging for me to just keep going. It's not like I was tired or exhausted or worn out of hours of laboring, but I wish that they would have told me, okay, 2 more pushes and the baby will be here. But the nurse was counting and you were counting and saying, you know, good job. That was a good push. And the doctor's over there and he's conversing with me like he's not delivering my baby. You know, that's what was so nice about the epidural, is that it was a very pleasant experience. I could have a conversation with him. I think we were even quoting movies. I can't remember which movie it was.
We did talk about movies. I forgot all mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was. I think it was a comedy. It was a comedy show, if I remember right. Because somebody made some movie quote. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the whole thing. But yeah, we were. We were kind of laughing and joking. Once again, making us comfortable. It mm-hmm. was a good experience.
It really was. And like I said, I didn't know how close I was to having the baby, but when I saw him put the extra gear on, you know, he put his mask on
mm-hmm.
fully. He got the full on like splash guard gown. Then I knew it's like, okay, it must be close. I was pushing, you know, he's telling me good job. And then he was massaging, which I didn't know, you knew, just to kind of help open things up for the baby, hopefully prevent a severe tear. And all of a sudden I'm pushing and he goes, stop pushing. And, you know, of course I stop, like, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happening? What's going on? But you could see it.
So that part, I don't think I ever looked down there. We were, because we knew it was close. We were trying to get everything out. So I think I was up more by you. I don't remember how I got in that position, but I don't remember looking down to be like, okay, she's half out or anything like that. But I do remember, you know, when he did tell you to stop, I think after that I did look down and, you could see, yeah, the head was out, face down. And I just remember, I don't remember if you didn't have to push. That was your last push, right?
I think it was.
Because mm-hmm. basically he reached in there and kind of with 3-4 fingers just cradled the head and just looked like he just pulled it right out. I mean, just no struggle or nothing. I mean, it was, which she had such a big head that, you know, it just all came out. But anyway, so a Hinomorin plopped her out, and it split second, he threw right on your chest.
And that's where that moment, I will never forget that feeling of your baby on your chest.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's where we're going to stop this episode. We're going to pick right up where we had left off in part two of the D-Day. Want to thank everybody for listening. I know it was a little bit longer episode, but we really wanted to get everything out there to you guys, especially in one of the biggest moments of our lives. Please like, share, follow, subscribe, write a review, all those sorts of things, depending on what platform you're listening to us on. We really appreciate it. It helps us out in the long run. We'll see you in the next one.